You are now listening to Voices of the West Side with your host, John Easter.
Good morning and welcome to Voices of the West Side on Indy's Giant 90.9. Glad to have you here this morning with us as we continue the month of May. I looked on my calendar. We're already halfway through the month, which is hard to believe because this year is going fast. I'm John Easter once again, joined this morning by the one and only Bryant Smith this morning. How are you, Bryant?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Johnny, or Mr. Easter.
We're all confused this morning. It's okay. It's all right. You can call me John on the air. I don't care. 7:30 here on Voices of the West Side. And normally Kieran's sitting in your chair. Kieran had some things to take care of because I think he's a secret CIA agent somewhere. You know, we can't say where he is because we're not sure. No, but Kieran's not here this morning. He told me he had some things to accomplish this weekend down in Vincennes related to his future college endeavors, so we wish him well. Safe travels down to Southwest Indiana, Southwest Indiana, down to Vincennes. Have to get my geography straight here on Friday morning. But so tell us about yourself, Brian. We have not heard you on this show. Of course, I know who you are, but
Right. Our
listeners who may not listen to anything else on the station, they may not know who you are. So Right. Tell them who you are.
Well, I'm Brian, and I'm Avon graduate. 2025. I'm about to graduate in May 30th. My plan is I want to go into cybersecurity after school, and I want to do something with radio. I want to pick off radio and just do something on the side as well.
Yeah, well, that's the great thing about radio is that, you know, once you have the experience that you gained here and pushing buttons and running boards and things like that, you can take that anywhere. So I'm not, you know, patting ourselves on the back or anything, but you can definitely do that when you can apply it. So
Right. Glad
you're here this morning. Glad you stepped up and decided. I think Kieran just drafted you though, didn't he? He's like, you're going to do, Kieran has a deep voice. So he's like, you're going to do this. And you said, okay.
Right.
Is that kind of how it went?
Well,
that was the combo.
It was all right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Well, we have a great guest here this morning who we're going to get to here in just a minute, but first, we have that thing. It's over to my right here. It's that thing up there that we call the
Big Board.
And usually it's Kieran's job to read what's on the big board, so we'll just ask you to do it there.
Alrighty. So the last day for school, last day of school for the MSD of Wayne Township is June 4th.
I don't think anybody's looking forward to that. I think we're all dreading that last day, right?
Most definitely.
You think so? I can't back that one up.
And then SWET, can you remind me what the acronym was that?
Yeah, that's Seniors with Extraordinary Artistic Talent.
Awesome. That's happening. That's happening. 5/17.
Because they put a lot of sweat
into it. Ben Davis at 6:30.
It's a big art show for tonight. The seniors is what it is. And that's actually tomorrow
night. May 17th.
Yeah tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night. And then Wayne Walks Friday, May 16th.
Yeah, that's happening today. That's where the students dress up in their graduation regalia and go to their elementary
amazing
schools. And yeah, it's always a fun day. So I'm sure there'll be social media content out there on that. So look for that. If you see a bunch of buses with a bunch of students dressed in, you know, graduation gowns, you'll know what's going on.
Definitely. And then the giant Memorial Day 5K run. May 26th. Wow, I didn't know we had all these events.
Yeah, or it would be a walk for me if
or
I did
the walk,
it.
Yeah, as well.
But we had them on the show a couple weeks ago. It was the Ben Davis Chair OTC. It's a fundraiser for them on the 26th.
And it 8
starts, yep, starts at 8 a.m. The Career Center door. And yeah, it's
that's really cool.
Yeah, they trying to raise money to go to Nationals.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And then graduation is June 7th.
Once again, I don't think seniors are looking forward to that at all. Of course, that was our show last week was on graduation. And just a reminder that it is back at Ben Davis High School this year after being out at the fairgrounds since, I think, 2008, with the exception of 2 years when the Coliseum was under construction. But it's back here since for the first time since 2014. It's going to be at the Ben Davis Stadium, and only the second time in history.
I feel like it should be here with how big this school is.
Yeah, definitely. That's what we were talking about on the show last week. It's kind of nice to have your graduation ceremony at your school.
Right.
You know, I know, because yours is from Avon.
It's downtown.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, it's good to have it like at your school. If it really means it, it's more meaningful.
Yeah. Because that's where you went to games and had fun. And yeah. So anyway, that's the thing we called the always got to wait for the woo at the end. They did that a few years ago. They were like, oh, we're going to do this. And it's worked. It's like probably 10 years old now. But anyway, let's get to our guest here this morning. Bryant, we have our Marion County prosecutor with us this morning, so we have to be on our best behavior. It is the prosecutor, Ryan Mears, with us this morning. So we welcome him in. Welcome, Mr. Prosecutor.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and I appreciate the warm introduction.
I never know what's the appropriate way to call the prosecutor. Is it Mr. Prosecutor? Is it...
Ryan usually works.
Okay, we'll settle with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course, I've heard you talk about how it's the month of May, and with your last name, no relation to the Rocket, Rick Mears.
Yeah, no relation, but it's always helpful when you're checking out or when you're waiting in line or something like that. It's definitely a great conversation starter. But for those of you who don't know, I'm 6'5", and I think Rick Mears is probably 5'6". So yeah. I got about a foot on Rick, but he's got four more Indy 500s than me. So
yeah, and lots of poles. And
yeah, absolutely.
I don't think people realize how good Rick Mears was.
He was the best there. Back in the day. Yeah, oh. On that Penske car, they were unstoppable.
Yeah, I don't ever remember him starting in the back of the field.
No,
he might have like in his early part of his career, but just always seemed like he was on the pole or somewhere up front, and just to hear him talk about his experiences out there. But anyway, we didn't come here to talk about Rick Mears. We came to talk about Ryan Mears here on the program this morning. So first of all, thanks for coming back. I know this is your first time on this particular entity, but we consider this like the grandson of School Talk.
I mean, this is one of the best, longest-running morning shows in the city.
Yes.
And so, I mean, I think that's a lot to be proud of, and I can see why, because not only do you have a great host, but you have a great producer.
Yeah, well, you know, with every once in a while, I slip up and I call it School Talk. So if I happen to do that this morning, there's Mr. Goins, our television instructor. We'll probably talk about what you did with them as well during the show this past summer. But, yeah, this show, in one form or another, has been going since 2003, you know, Emerson hosted in this time slot. We'll put it that way.
There we go. Yeah.
And we were just talking off air before we got in here. It's been a year now since Emerson decided to step away from the program, and we had the big, you know, extravaganza to finish out his tenure here. And it's hard to believe that year has passed so fast. So it's been fun. We have one more show after this. We'll tell you later on who is our guest next week. Probably know if you've seen social media, but we'll tell you about that. But again, we're here to talk about the Marion County Prosecutor's Office, your services that you provide, and the job that you do every day. So I think people are probably familiar with what the prosecutor does, but for those that aren't, what is the job of the Marion County Prosecutor?
Well, I mean, if I had to sum it up in you know, just kind of one general sentiment, it's to help people and try to make a difference in the community. And helping people can take on a variety of different ways. You know, we try to be helpful in the courtroom in terms of being in a position to hold people accountable. I'm very proud of the fact that we've never had a higher conviction rate on our homicide cases than we have this year. We've never had a higher conviction rate than we have with some of our sex crimes cases than we have this year. But at the same time, we also know a jail cell is not going to solve every problem. And we have to be willing to make inroads in the community, build those relationships with people in the community, and really try to help people get back on their feet who are coming out of the criminal justice system. You know, there's a lot of talk about why do people reoffend, or why do we see people continuously in the criminal justice system? And a lot of times it's those collateral consequences. It's those convictions following people around, keeping them from getting jobs, preventing them from getting into housing. And so we focus a lot of energy and effort on making sure that we're giving people those opportunities so they can move forward with their life in a positive way.
Now, kind of on a personal note, what's your background? How did you get to be in the position that you're in now? We always ask that. You know, where did you start out? Go to high school, college, those things. What's your background?
Well, I'm proud to say West Side guy. Yeah, I did not go to Ben Davis. Went to Cardinal Ritter High School.
Okay.
You know, being in the month of May, we used to always love it because we got out of school around the track. We always got off for carb day.
You're like right there. I literally had North 40.
Yeah, I had to drive past the track every single day to get to school. And so, you know, started out on the West Side, then went to St. Joseph's College in Rensselaer, and then went to law school here. And my first job out of law school was working in the prosecutor's office. So I've had literally every job in the building. And I feel like that just gives me a unique perspective because I've seen the office at every different level. And so there's nothing that I'm going to ask somebody to do that I haven't done myself or experienced myself. And so I think that gives you a good and unique perspective. But I think it also helps you identify maybe some of the challenges that exist in the office and maybe some of the challenges we have in the criminal justice system because you've seen it up close. And it really lessened the learning curve for me just because I was so familiar with the system and the prosecutor's office. I knew there were areas where we can immediately improve. And I knew that there were things that we could do to better serve the people of Marion County. And I think we've done a decent job of implementing some of those ideas.
Now, people see you on TV, and it's usually maybe not the happiest news right. when you're on TV because you're talking about some pretty tough things. How do you balance that in your life? You see some pretty awful things in your job, and your prosecutors, too, that work with you see some pretty awful things. How do you balance all that in your life?
Well, the incredible thing about my job is I get not only do I see, you know, some of those negative things, but I just see the most incredible people who just display incredible dignity and grace through some of the most difficult and trying circumstances that you can imagine. And that's inspiring. And to meet people who have gone through such difficult situations and to see how they handle themselves, how they conduct themselves, to see their human spirit is really inspiring. And so even out of all those negative situations, you really do take a positive from it just because you are incredibly impressed by the people that you get to deal with. The other thing is I get to help a lot of people. I get to make a difference in a lot of people's lives, and the gratitude and the rewards that you get from that is truly what keep you going. I mean, there's no better feeling in the world than that embrace you have with a family after you win a murder case. There's no better feeling than when you're able to help someone get their driver's license back or help get someone a job. Just that feeling that you're able to experience with that individual and understanding that you're trying to do something maybe a little bit bigger than yourself to try to help out as many people as you can in the community is really what makes the prosecutor's office so special.
Brian, if any time you have questions, just jump right in.
Definitely. I wanted to ask, what would you say to a listener who's going between, like, changing themselves for the better and stuck between their past?
Good question.
That's a great question. And, you know, I think for me, the biggest thing that I want people to remember is that there's so much potential and talent. And there's so much potential and talent in this high school. And I think that sometimes people don't understand or appreciate what they can do and what they could do, not only for themselves, but for their family and this community. And I see too many people get derailed by making poor choices. And those poor choices follow you around forever. And that's just the reality. And so you want to give people hope, and you want people to think about the future to understand that there is a better tomorrow, that there is better opportunities out there, and that you really do have potential to do something great. And a lot of times I see people set artificial ceilings on themselves, like, oh, I can't do that. I can only do this. And that's what breaks my heart. It's like, no, you can do way more than that. You have to believe in yourself. And I think for us as adults, we have to do a better job of making sure kids know we believe in you.
And it's also, sorry to interrupt, it's also about being around that community, that's positive community that positively changes you.
Like everything in life, you can either take the positive out of something or the negative out of something. And do you want to focus on the positive or do you want to focus on the negative? And look, we're all going to fail. We all make mistakes. None of us are perfect. And so it's how we respond to those mistakes that's critically important. And one of the things that we try to do is how can we lift people up? Okay, you have made a mistake. How can we help you learn from this mistake? How can we make sure you don't make this mistake again? Are we perfect at it? No, absolutely not. But, you know, we have to have that belief in one another or else, you know, then we just get in this terrible cynical, cyclical cycle of, well, we'll just lock everybody up and that'll solve our problems. And we have 100 years of history to indicate to us that doesn't work.
So just kind of jumping off that question, you kind of have two sides to your job because on one side you have a family or you may have a person who, or someone who has gone through a horrible event, and perhaps someone on the other side who is accused of doing that horrible event, and you were talking about making mistakes and doing things like that. Sometimes you can make a big mistake in your life, but it's your first time that you've ever made that mistake, or it's maybe something you didn't intend to do, certainly. Sometimes, you know, unfortunately it is, and there's a lot of things that go into that. But how do you balance both sides, the kind of the side of the victim, but yet also realizing that, like you said, people make some mistakes?
And I think that's the delicate balance of being a prosecutor. And the biggest thing is you have to be fair. You need to treat people fairly, and people don't always feel like they get a fair shake in the criminal justice system. So I think you have to start from that point of, we need to be fair to everybody involved in the process. And, you know, in the spirit of candor, sometimes fairness means we are going to send people to the Department of Correction because that's what we think the family needs. That's what the community needs as a whole in order to heal, in order to keep people safe. But I also want to be an outcome-oriented prosecutor. How are we coming up with solutions to people's problems? If the reason you're in the criminal justice system is because of mental health issues, how can I help you deal with your mental health issues so we don't see you again? If substance use is your problem, how can we help you deal with that issue so I don't see you again? If your issue is maybe financial related, is it financial literacy? Is it those types of things that can impact, you know, why people are in the criminal justice system? Let's try to address the underlying issue and the root cause. And so I want everybody to be outcome oriented. I want people in our office thinking, what are we trying to solve with this criminal case? And how can we help that person make sure we don't see them again? And punishment doesn't work for everybody. You know, a lot of times we deal with people who are less than 18 years of age, and it's not necessarily about punishment. It's about, how can we help this kid read? How can we get this kid back into school? How can we get this kid around positive people? There's a variety of different ways that you can handle and approach things, but hopefully we're all coming from the idea of, we're trying to solve problems and we want to help people, whether they're accused of a crime or if they're a victim of a crime.
That's the voice of the Marion County Prosecutor, Ryan Mears, who is our guest this morning here on Voices of the West Side. I'm John Easter with Brian Smith producing today. And, you know, you talk, kind of switching gears here a little bit. I know the prosecutor does a lot of outreach events that kind of help prevent maybe crime. So what are some of those things that you do in the prosecutor's office?
Well, we did one this week with Mike Epps, who's from Indianapolis, who's, you know, got a show on Netflix, been in a ton of movies. And really the idea of some of those things is as your all-star producer here mentioned, is trying to be proactive with kids in particular about the dangers of gun violence, and making sure that we're making those strong inroads at the community to have those conversations. And every time I have conversations with young people, there's always this idea of, well, you don't do enough to give young people a platform to talk about this topic of gun violence. And so what we did this week was really about giving kids that opportunity to have just a space to have the conversation. And because Mike was involved, the news media covered it. And we had really productive conversations about the pressures that kids are feeling, that they're dealing with growing up, that I certainly didn't have to face when I graduated from high school in 1999. And so there's just, you know, the world is different. And so how can we relate to those kids, but also give them the tools to be successful? You know, we do our Youth Violence Prevention Fellowship, and we've had a number of kids from Ben Davis participate in that. And if you guys are interested, hit us up on our website at indy.gov. But it's really about building leadership skills. So if you're on your block, in your neighborhood, in your school, in your classroom, on your team, you have the strength and the courage to help steer someone away from gun violence and help steer someone away from some of the challenges that we know young people face. And the other thing, too, as prosecutors, as you mentioned, a lot of times we become involved when something bad happens. And if the only time you talk to someone is after something bad happens, you're not going to have a very good relationship. So we're constantly in the community just saying, hey, we're here to help. We do a basketball camp next, and I think June 3rd or 4th, we're doing a soccer camp. We do our second chance fairs where we help people get expungements, which takes criminal convictions off their history so they can hopefully get that job or get into housing. Just really, we're looking for ways to come into the community and just say, I'm not asking for anything. I just want to be here to help. And we're hopeful that those inroads, that if someone is involved in the criminal justice system, they'll have a little bit more trust in the criminal justice system. And they'll say, hey, I think the prosecutor's office is going to treat me fairly.
What are some, in your opinion, what are some of the biggest barriers to people, I don't want to say staying out of trouble, but really crime, when people, let's say, commit a crime, what are some of the biggest exterior things that fit, that factor into that?
I would say the two biggest things I say right now is housing and education. Is someone housed? Do they have permanent housing? And what's someone's educational attainment level? And, you know, every time before someone gets sentenced, we get a report that will say what, you know, what level does that person read at? What's the highest grade that person has completed? And very oftentimes we see people who are really struggling academically or who maybe dropped out of school or really never even learned to read beyond a second or third grade level. There's a well-known stat that says 70% of the people in federal prison cannot read above a fourth grade level. And to me, that should tell all of us the importance of education and why what you guys do every day is so important here, because that's what gives kids an opportunity for success. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to coach my son's basketball team. And one of the things I told them is, you know, we're working really hard, not because it guarantees a victory. We're working really hard because it guarantees us an opportunity to win. And to me, reading's the same way. Like, reading's, just because you can read doesn't guarantee that you're going to be successful. But if you can't, it really limits your options and your chance of being successful. And so that's why I think what the schools are doing is so critically important. And that's why I think it's so important for everybody in our community to try to lift up the schools. Because when people don't have that educational background, a lot of times they end up in the criminal justice system, and it starts with that ability to read.
Now, I know we saw Mr. Goins at the window there a few minutes ago. I know that you have worked with BDTV and their program over there, and also with us on different projects over the years. So talk a little bit about what you did with BDTV and Ben Davis. Well, video production, really, because that's what they did.
Yeah, and shout out to Ben Davis for making that investment and providing this opportunity for kids, because it's incredible. Last year, you know, one of the things we talked about was we wanted to do public service announcements around gun violence that was generated by kids, written by the kids. They put together an incredible video. They put together a really incredible ad campaign as it related to being able to try to get kids to turn away from gun violence. And, you know, for me as a prosecutor, the summer months always bring a little bit of trepidation, just because we do see an uptick in violence. And in particular, we see an uptick in violence amongst young people. And what the kids at Ben Davis produced last year was absolutely incredible. And they had a message that really resonated with kids. We did, you know, paid radio spots all around the city. We pumped out the video that they created and got kind of the feedback from the different social media platforms. We put money behind those videos so it would hopefully reach as many people as possible on social media. And I think it's just a tribute to the level of creativity that's here, but also how thoughtful kids are. I was just super impressed in our conversations about some of these issues of gun violence and other things, how thoughtful the kids were, but also how closely connected and impact every single one of those kids was to gun violence. Everybody had a story of someone that they knew that was directly impacted, whether they were accused of a crime, whether they were a victim of a crime involving a gun. All the kids that we met with had unfortunately had to experience that, but those experiences helped inform the conversation that we had, and I think manifested itself in an incredible ad where we got a ton of positive feedback in the community from people, and that was important to me, because it indicated to me that we had generated that conversation, we'd started that conversation and brought attention to the issue, and hopefully it also, you know, empowered the kids at Ben Davis to feel like they can take ownership of this issue and they can use their platforms to make this you know, Indianapolis a little bit safer.
Ryan Mears joining us. I was just saying, if you had anything, Ryan.
I was gonna ask, what would you say to, how would like listeners maybe outside of the state, how would they be able to find help in their community and things like that if they were going through something?
Yeah, so the I think part of the challenge that we have is just everything's so localized. I mean, even in the, you know, you mentioned that you're graduating from Avon High School, you're in Hendricks County. I can't do anything for what's going on in Hendricks County. You know, I can only impact what's going on in Marion County, and there's a different elected prosecutor in Hendricks County. And so I think that's one of the challenges that you have, is just There are 92 prosecutors all around the state of Indiana, and then you extrapolate that out for the rest of the country. And so there's a ton of different individuals out there. What you're hopeful is that anybody who's in a position of power or is fortunate enough to have a position like being prosecutor, is fortunate enough to have a position like being judge, you're hopeful that they're looking for ways that they can improve the community and try to help people. And if you make that genuine commitment, number one, I think you're going to get the most out of the experience. But number two, that's when you're going to have the biggest impact on the people that you serve. And so you hope everybody takes that approach and philosophy. But the reality is everybody kind of has a different view on the criminal justice system and what the community actually needs. And that, you know, you can kind of see that in some of the different policies around the country.
You know, you graduated in 99. You said, I graduated in 93 from Ben Davis. You graduated in 99 from Ritter. We have some things now as far as like getting the word out. I know you mentioned social media and all of these things. How has that changed the game of what you do as a prosecutor?
That's the single biggest change. You know, when I tried my first murder case in 2008 or 2009, it was very much a witness came in and said, this person did it. And that was our case. Now we don't try any cases like that. And this is probably the most important thing I'm going to say to all of your listeners. But it's because of you being young people insist on memorializing everything that you do on your cell phones. And you are walking around with a GPS device in your pocket. And so when we prosecute these cases now, it's we know exactly who you're talking to. We know exactly where you are. And we know exactly what you're doing after the fact. And a lot of times kids post about what they do. They brag about what they do. And pro tip to everybody out there, once you put it out there, it's out there. When we do the search warrant on Instagram, we get everything, including when you took it down. So just because you think you deleted something, you did not. And so, you know, we have fundamentally changed the way we prosecute cases because we have access to so much digital evidence that didn't exist when I was in high school. There was no social media. Not everybody was walking around with a cell phone that told us exactly where you're standing. And so it's really improved our job and made our job it's more difficult in the sense of we have way more information that we have to process and synthesize and figure out. But at the end of the day, we have a better work product. It is not just a single person coming in saying this person did it. We're going to have cell tower data. We're going to have cell phone location. We're going to have social media posts. We're going to have your contact information. We're going to have who you were text messaging, all of these things to paint a more complete picture of what took place, which hopefully gives the public confidence in what we're doing in terms of identifying the right people. But also, you know, that's why one of the many reasons why we have the highest conviction rate we've ever had is because we're able to build really solid cases. And a lot of it starts with young people who are 17, 18 years old, putting everything out there for us to see.
Yeah, that's amazing when you think about it. Because I never had one of the, I mean, I was telling you, I've been struggling this morning with, Google Authenticator because I just bought a new cell phone. And I mean, it's frustrating me because I should just be able to like, but when it wants you to scan the QR code, it's not, right. So, you know, it's frustrating, but this thing is kind of telling everything that you do.
Right.
You know, some people talked about chips and things in your, you have one in your pocket.
Absolutely. And I don't think people realize how powerful that tool is. And, you know, there's very little that you can hide now.
Yeah.
And, there's a lot of conversation. And for me, that's kind of the big interesting issue in the law is where is that level of privacy?
Right.
You know, when the United States Constitution was written, the most important place of privacy was your bedroom and your papers. And I would imagine that if I gave people the choice of, hey, would you rather have me search your bedroom or search your cell phone? Most people would probably say their bedroom. You're not looking at my search history. You're not looking at what's on my phone. And but the law hasn't necessarily come up to that, you know, caught up to that idea. And so what's that going to look like in the future in terms of what privacy rights do people have? And it's also kind of an interesting conversation just because young people put so much online. Are they forfeiting their privacy rights? Have they lost that expectation of privacy just with how open and public they are with what they put on social media? And that's going to be a really interesting legal issue as we kind of move forward with, you know, technologies that is seemingly taking over our lives.
I mean, people are streaming what they're doing
at all times.
It's wow. But anyway, we have about a minute left. I know you have some events coming up. You kind of mentioned them in passing, but what do you have coming up that people should be aware about?
Yeah, so we're doing one of our big second chance events at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. So if you know someone who's got driver's license issues, potentially child support issues that end up having their driver's license suspended, or if they've got those prior convictions that are preventing them from getting a job or getting into housing, come visit it at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. I think it's June 17th at 10 a.m. That's where the Pacers play. We have a great relationship with the Pacers, and it'll be nice not only to have playoff games there, but also be in a position to help people out.
Yeah, we could have NBA Finals there this year. Not getting ahead of ourselves.
Man, bring on the Knicks.
Yeah, that's right. Did they win last night, the Knicks?
No, they play tonight.
Play tonight? Okay. I kind of lost track when they play the next game in that series. But the Pacers and either the Celtics or the Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals, Pacers are already there in the Final Four. So that's really cool. Anything else, Bryant, before we go?
I think that will cover about all my questions, but thank you so much, Ryan. You definitely answered a lot of questions today and made me see differently, from a different perspective.
Great. It was great to be on here, and great to hang out with the world-class producer.
It's always like, you get to the end of one of these shows on WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis, you get to the end of these shows, and you're like, I should have asked that. So where can people find you online if they have questions or anything else?
So we've obviously got our IndieGev website, but also we have a pretty strong social media presence. It's MCPO at Instagram or whatever else is out there. So find us online, find us on social media. We want to connect with as many people as possible.
All right. Well, we appreciate you. Thanks, as always, for what you do and coming out to see us. We appreciate, you're one of the public officials that anytime we ask, you're like, what time? Where can I be? So we appreciate that.
Absolutely.
All right. Brian, great job. Next week, I wanted to mention before we go, next week, we always try to do a show about the Indy 500 or something around this time of year, because it is the month of May. Last year we had Merle Bentenhausen, and it was an hour long show. Just a phenomenal guest. This coming up next week, we have the voice of the 500, Mark James. That's awesome. Will be on the show. A lot of people don't realize Mark is also a teacher down at Monrovia High School. So he does what I do down at Monrovia. But Mark James will be our guest next week. We already did the interview, so it's really good, because he's kind of busy this time of year. So
yeah, busy time for him.
We kind of had to figure out a spot in his schedule where it would work. So we did that this week. So that'll be the show next week. Ryan, thanks a lot again. Appreciate you. All right, that's going to wrap up Voices of the West Side.
To the parents and to the teachers, our students have so much to give. You must teach them to be investors in themselves and their communities. What you give out is what you're going to be given back. And students, remember, your future is in the hands of the ones you hang with. It's okay to be a copycat, just copy the right cat. Don't get caught with the wrong crowd. And as always, the views expressed on Voices of the West Side are not necessarily the views of the MSD of Wayne Township, Ben Davis High School, or WBDG. From all of us here at Voices of the West Side, we'll see you on down the road. Make sure to join us next time. I'm John Easter, over and out. Have a great weekend.